الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، begin reading this morning, seeking the help and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a brief treatise entitled Bawa'ith al-Khalas min al-Dhunub, Motivations for Deliverance from Sins, which is an excerpt, chapter in a work from the works of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, with a commentary by the great scholar Shaykh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr hafidhahum Allahu azza wa jal. So the work initially is a chapter from one of the works of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, discussing the affairs of patience and gratitude. And in this work, he has a chapter about this topic here, how to strengthen the religion and to fortify the faith and to free oneself from sin by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we begin reading this morning. We have prepared a translation also with some additional benefits after each chapter. And it's a rough draft and it's not complete. And there's a sufficient amount for our classes this weekend, and inshallah it will be updated as we move along through our studies. So the author, he began with the Basmalah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Muqaddima, introduction. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. All praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. May peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family and all his companions. As for what follows, فَلَمَّا كَانَتِ الذُّنُوبُ وَالْمَعَاسِي مَصْدَرَ شُؤْمٍ وَخِزْيٍ لِلْعَبْدِ كَانَ الْوَاجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ نَاسِحٍ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنْ يَسْعَى بَعَدَ الْإِسْتِيَانَةِ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْبَحْثِ عَنِ الْأُمُورِ وَالْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي تَدْفَعُهُ إِلَى مُجَانَبَتِهَا والبعد عنها، فإن هذا باب مهم جدا يحتاج المسلم إلى استحضاره دائما، وهو sins and acts of disobedience are a source of evil and disgrace for a servant. It becomes obligatory upon every sincere Muslim who wishes well for himself to strive after seeking Allah's aid and assistance and searching for the means and causes that drive him to avoid and stay away from them. This is a highly significant matter that every Muslim must keep in mind, and that is al-bawa'ith lil-khalasi min al-dhunub liyaslama min al-iqabi wa liyafuza bi jazil al-thawab. That is the motivations for deliverance from sins, and he being safe and free from sins and disobedience, so that he may be saved from the punishment and attain immense rewards. ولهذا نجد العلماء قد أوضحوا هذه البواعث التي تعين على الخلاص من الذنوب قديما وحديثا وكان من جملتهم الإمام العلامة المربي ابن القيم رحمه الله فقد كتب فصلا نفيسا في كتابه عدة الصابرين وذخيرة الشاكرين ذكر فيه 20 باعثا لتقوية الدين والإيمان والخلاص من الذنوب والآثام. He mentioned Hafidhul Allah. For this reason, we find that the scholars, both past and present, have explained these motivations that help in escaping from sins. Among them are the esteemed Imam and noble scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, who wrote an invaluable chapter in his book Uddatu al-Sabirin wa Dhakhiratu al-Shakirin. Uddatu al-Sabirin, yani the provisions for the patient, and the supplies for the grateful, in which he mentioned 20 motivations for strengthening the faith and religion, and for attaining deliverance from sins and bad deeds. He says, حفظه الله جمعها جمعا متينا وبيانها بيانا نافعا فأحببت ذكرها في هذا المختصر والتعليق عليها بما يوضح مقاصدها ويجلي معانيها حتى يعم نفعها بين المسلمين وتكون لهم باب توبة وخلاص من الذنوب. He compiled them in a firm and comprehensive manner and explained them in a beneficial way. I wish to present them in this brief summary and provide a commentary on them to clarify their objectives and elucidate their meanings, so that their benefit may spread among the Muslims and serve as a means of repentance and salvation from sins. والله أسأل أن يرحم الإمام ابن القيم وأن يرفع درجته في جنات النعيم وأن يغفر لنا وله ولجميع المسلمين صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I ask Allah to have mercy on Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, to raise his rank in the gardens of bliss, and to forgive us, him, and all of the Muslims. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family and companions. وَكَتَبَهُ عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ ابْنُ عَبْدُ الْمُحْسِنِ الْبَدْرِ, written by عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ ابْنُ عَبْدُ الْمُحْسِنِ الْبَدْرِ. He mentioned a footnote at the bottom clarifying that originally this work here were lectures that he had delivered, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, in Al-Imarat. And some of the students of knowledge, they had inscribed, they had written down that lecture, and they had presented it to him, and he reviewed it and went over it, and then it was made into book form that we have now. So this is the introduction that the author he mentioned, and then he moves in directly to mentioning the points from that work that are discussed by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and following each point with a brief commentary. So he says, قَالَ الْإِمَامُ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, said, فَصْلٌ, a chapter. وَأَمَّا تَقْوِيَةُ بَاعِثِ الدِّينِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكُونُ بِأُمُورٍ. As for strengthening the motivation for the religion, it occurs through several means. أَحَدُهَا, and he begins mentioning them. One of them, or the first one, إِجْلَالُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, أَنْ يُعْصَى وَهُوَ يَرَى وَيَسْمَعَ. وَهُوَ يَرَى وَيَسْمَعَ وَمَنْ قَامَ بِقَلْبِهِ مَشْهَدُ إِجْلَالِهِ لَمْ يُطَاعِئُهُ قَلْبُهُ لِذَلِكَ أَلْبَتَّهُ. He said, the first of them is revering Allah, having great reverence for Allah, glorified and exalted, by recognizing that He sees and hears whenever He is disobeyed. Whoever has this awareness in his heart will never allow his heart to yield to sin. So the first affair and the head of the affair is the issue of at-tawheed. At-tawheed al-ilmi, having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having knowledge of Allah and His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has encompassing knowledge of the entire creation. And nothing is hidden from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تخفى عليه خافية. لا تخفى عليه خافية. عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Nothing is hidden from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer. Allah, He is the creator, the provider, and the sustainer of this entire universe. The creation belongs to Him and is under His command and authority. And nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever. And He has supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom, and He hears, sees, and is well aware of all things and everything that the people say and do, and that they think, and that crosses their minds, and that they intend, is written and recorded. And the people, they will be taken to account. So the more one has knowledge of Allah, and the more one learns about Allah and His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection, the more one learns about the supreme authority and the ultimate command of Allah, the more one will fear and revere Allah. The more one will love and strive to draw near to Allah. As the Salaf, they would say, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. Whenever one has more knowledge of Allah, then he will have more fear of Allah. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. Whenever one has more, the more knowledge one has of Allah, the more one will fear Allah. The more we learn about Allah by studying His book and His words, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by learning about the biography and the life and the sunnah and the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we will revere Allah, the more we will honor Him and love Him, and the more we will fear Him and strive to obey Him and be very cautious from disobeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim, in some of his works, he mentioned this statement here from the Salaf. من كان بالله أعرف كان منه أخوف. The more one has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear him. But he added to that two more statements. وكان لعبادته أطلب. And likewise, he will also strive even more to worship Allah. So the more knowledge one has of Allah, the more one will fear Allah. And whenever someone truly fears Allah, he will not flee from Allah, rather he will flee to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. A person, he will flee to Allah, he will seek refuge with Allah, he will seek protection with Allah, he will seek help with Allah, he will seek aid with Allah, he will seek relief with Allah, he will hope and strive for the mercy of Allah. فَكَانَ لِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبُ. So then he will strive harder to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the creed and belief and the actions and statements and deeds that are pleasing to Allah, and striving to implement that, hoping for the pleasure of Allah. And learning the statements and actions and beliefs that are displeasing to Allah, and that will earn his anger, and striving to avoid them and stay away from them. And striving to avoid them and stay away from them. Like thus Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned as well on the second additional statement to this issue, the salaf they mentioned, وَكَانَ عَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. And he'll be further away from his disobedience. So the people of knowledge, they say, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. The more one has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear Allah. And the more one fears Allah, the more one will strive to draw near to Allah by worshiping him and obeying him in the manner prescribed. And the more one will be further away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the head of the affair, the issue of at-tawheed, and realizing the majesty and the greatness of Allah, and that the command is the command of Allah, and that we are the slaves of Allah, and we're going to return to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's going to take us to account. And nothing that we say or do is hidden from him. And nothing that we say or do is hidden from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on top of that, everything that we do and that we have is from him. All of the good and all of the blessings that we have, our very life and our existence, our hands and our eyes and our ears are from him. He is the one who has created them, and he is the one who is providing for our strength and our physical abilities to hear and to see. He is the one who is providing for our strength and our physical abilities to hear and to see. And we will not be able to disobey Allah except by using his favors and blessings. And this is enough for a believer to realize that that's a lowly way. And this is enough for a believer to realize that that is a lowly way. So this is the number one affair. Number one, the first thing that will strengthen the religion and be a means of motivation, be a great means of strengthening the motivation for being upright and steadfast, is to realize that Allah, he has authority and command, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for him, and that we're going to return to Allah, and he's going to take us to account, and that Allah, he's powerful and strong. That Allah, he's powerful and strong. And Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. You must know, meaning with certainty, have no doubt that Allah is severe in punishment. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. You must know with certainty that Allah is severe in punishment. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And likewise that Allah, he's the most forgiving and merciful. He's severe in punishment for those who reject faith, or for those who rebel against his commandments and show no respect and honor for his law and legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the most forgiving and most merciful for those who turn to him in repentance and strive to obey him in public and in private. In public and in private. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentions now, hafidhullah, at-ta'liq, commentary. Al-ba'ith al-awwal lil-khalasi min al-dhunub. The first motivation for avoiding sins. Ijlalullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa i'zamuhu. Revering and glorifying Allah the Almighty. Revering and glorifying Allah the Almighty. And this is the issue of at-ta'zim. Ta'zim Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from revering and honoring Allah azza wa jal, is revering and honoring his commandments and prohibitions. Is revering and honoring his commandments and prohibitions. The one who truly honors and reveres and reveres Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will honor and uphold the rights. Then he will honor and uphold the rights of the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these affairs here will have a high status and position in his heart. If he has true, sincere reverence and love for Allah, this will carry him to have sincere love and reverence for the deen of Allah and the legislation of Allah and the commandments and prohibitions that Allah has prescribed subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions وَذَلِكَ أَنْ يَشْهَدَ الْمَرْءُ فِي قَلْبِهِ جَلَالَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَظَمَتَهُ كَمَا قَالَ وَمَقَادَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. This means that a person should perceive in his heart the majesty and greatness of Allah. He should realize this affair. He should realize this affair in his heart. As Allah, he said, the meaning of which is, they made not a just estimate of Allah such as due to him. And on the day of resurrection, the whole of the earth will be grasped in his hand, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand. Glorified be he, and high be he above all that they associate as partners with him. So this life is nothing, is insignificant, and will be wrapped up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. This is clarifying the greatness of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah, he is greater than all things. Allah, he is greater in all things, in every aspect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we should fear him and revere him. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. And Allah also said, what is the matter with you that you fear not Allah, meaning his punishment, and you do not hope for the reward from Allah, or believe not in his oneness, while he has created you in different stages. وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. In the manner that you know, from the fluid that you know, and the womb of a woman in the manner that is well known. Allah, Azza wa Jalla, he created the human being in this manner. Should we not fear him? Should we not realize that he has the power and the ability to do all things? The one who creates the human being, who has a mind and eyes and ears, and he sees sights, and he thinks, and he reflects, and he ponders, and he's happy, and he's sad, he has emotions, and he has feelings, and he goes about through life, and this human being was created from that fluid coming out of the womb of a woman in the manner that is well known. Should we not revere Allah and fear him, the one who is powerful and strong and has the ability to create the human being from semen and from fluid, from this lowly fluid? Then no doubt he has the right to be feared and to be revered. He's powerful and strong. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not create this creation for no purpose or without wisdom. For no purpose or without wisdom. And there will be accountability. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في تفسيرها ما لكم لا تعظمون الله حق عظمته. The meaning of this verse here, the statement of Allah, ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he mentioned in the interpretation of this verse, ما لكم لا تعظمون الله حق عظمته. What is the matter with you that you do not magnify and glorify Allah as he deserves to be magnified? As he deserves to be magnified, meaning to be revered. وَقَالَ الْقُرْطُبِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي تَفْسِيرِ قَوْلِهِ أَطْوَارًا أَيْ طَوْرًا بَعْدَ طَوْرًا إِلَى تَمَامِ الْخَلْقِ فَمَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا وَقَادِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تُعَظِّمُوهُ. الْقُرْطُبِي, may Allah have mercy on him, he explained the verse in different stages. وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا, and he created you in different stages, saying that is stage after stage, until the creation is complete. Stage after stage, until the creation is complete. And these stages have been clarified in the Book of Allah, in Surah Al-Hajj, and likewise in Surah Mu'minun. Allah clarified the stages of the creation of the human being. And other chapters likewise as well, in general, and in these chapters here in detail. And likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clarified these affairs in his narrations. In his narration, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so he says, whoever has done this and has the power over it is more deserving to be revered. Is more deserving to be revered. The one who creates the human being in this manner, through these different stages, from this sperm, this lowly fluid of semen, and from between the backbone and the ribs of a human being, and the womb of a woman, and then it turns into a blood clot, and then after that it turns into flesh, and then after that it turns into bones. And then after that, the ears and the nose and the eyes, they form. And there's organs that are inside, and intricate pieces in the eyes, intricate organs in the eyes and in the ears, and the heart and the mind. And then there's a life that is given to this human being, to this creation in the womb of a woman. And it comes out of the womb, and it grows in this manner. And it grows in the manner that is well known. مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا وَقَدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ حَقُّ أَنْ تُعَظِّمُهُ. The one who done this, the one who does this and has the ability to do that, he has the most right for you to revere him, for you to fear him and to honor him. To fear him and to honor him. The Shaykh, he says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ وَمِنْ شَوَائِدِ تَأْثِيرِ هَذَا الْمَشْهَدِ في النفوس ما جرى للصحابي الجليل جبير ابن مطعم رضي الله عنه لما قرأ سمعه بعض الآيات التي فيها بيان عظمة الله، وقام في قلبه مقام إجلال الله وجبروته، وأنه الخالق الرزاق المتصرف بجميع الخلق، دفعه ذلك للإيمان ودخول الإسلام، حيث قال: Among the examples of how this awareness impacts the soul is what happened to the noble companion Jubair ibn Mut'im, may Allah be pleased with him. When he heard verses that describe the greatness of Allah, reverence and awe of Allah settled in his heart, and he realized that he alone is the creator, the sustainer, and the one controlling all creation. This led him to embrace Islam, and he said, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَرَأَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ بِالطُّورِ فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Surah At-Tur in the Maghrib prayer. At this time he was not a Muslim. He had come there to speak with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to handle some business. And at that time he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting. At this time, he's seen the believers praying and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Surah At-Tur in Al-Maghrib. And he says, whenever he reached the verse, the meaning of which is, were they created by nothing or were they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, but they have no firm belief. Or are the treasures of your Lord with them, or are they the tyrants with the authority to do as they like. So were the people created from nothing? The answer is no, that's not possible. That's not possible that the people, they were created from nothing. Or were they themselves their creators? That's even more impossible. That they created themselves and brought themselves into the existence. So they were not created from nothing. And they're definitely not able to create themselves. If they're not created from nothing, they're not able to create themselves, then surely they didn't create the heavens and the earth. So therefore, there must be a creator. This is what the sound mind and reason realizes, and which is ingrained in the soul and the heart of every human being, to know without a doubt that there's a creator. And that this creator is almighty and all wise, and he's powerful and strong, and his knowledge has encompassed all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has the ability to do all things. Qala radiyallahu anhu kada qalbi an yatir. He said whenever he heard these verses, my heart was about to fly out of awe and fear. And he meaning at this time, whenever the Quran entered into his heart, he pondered and reflected and benefited from the recitation, then his heart is about to fly, meaning about to fly out of his chest, out of fear and out of reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي لَفْظٍ آخَرٍ وَذَلِكَ أَوَّلُ مَا وَقَرَ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِي. In another narration he said, رضي الله عنه, that was the first time sincere faith firmly settled in my heart. And at that moment he realized that the Qur'an is the truth. And that from there he realized that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth. And he realized from there that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although at that moment he did not enter into the fold of Islam. It was not till years later that he actually took the shahada and entered into the fold of Islam, but he was affected. He was affected by the recitation, and this is a great benefit, that the recitation of the Quran is beneficial for the people, and in reciting the Quran, this is da'wah. And the imam, whenever he's leading the salat, he will beautify his voice. So that the people will benefit. Because whenever the Quran is recited with a beautiful voice in the manner that it was revealed to the best of one's ability, it's easier, more facilitated to enter to the heart. So the one who is reciting, whether he's reciting outside of the salah or inside of the salah, beautifying the voice and reciting with this intention to benefit the people, for them to hear the recitation, for it to enter their heart, and for them to fear Allah and to take heed, this is a beautiful intention, and this is from the means of calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla. to Allah Azza wa Jalla, reciting the Quran to the best of one's ability so that people can hear the recitation, hoping that they benefit. So the Shaykh, he says, فَالْعَبْدُ إِذَا حَدَّثَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ بِارْتِكَابِ ذَنْبٍ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ فَلْيَشْهَدْ بِقَلْبِهِ جَلَالَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَلْيَشْهَدْ بِقَلْبِهِ جَلَالَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَعَظَمَتَهُ وَجَبَرُوتَهُ وَأَنَّهُ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَى أَفْعَالِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ فَإِذَا اسْتَشْعَرَ الْعَبْدُ ذَلِكَ بِقَلْبِهِ كَفَّ عَنْ ارْتِكَابِ الذُّنُوبِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ لَا مَحَالَةَ. Thus, when a person is tempted to commit a sin, he should remind himself of Allah's majesty, His greatness, and His might. He should remember that Allah is watching all his actions and hearing all his words. When one internalizes this awareness, he will, by Allah's permission, refrain from committing sins. قال بشر بن حارث الحافي لو تفكر الناس في عظمة الله تعالى لما عصوه. بشر بن حارث الحافي, he said, if the people truly contemplated the greatness of Allah, they would never disobey Him. They would never disobey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this goes back to learning about the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Learning about His rububiyyah and about His actions and that which He does, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer. And the command is in His hands. And nothing happens in this creation except with His permission. And we are His slaves, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and likewise learning and knowing Him by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And likewise learning about Allah and knowing Him by His signs in creation and the environment around us, in our very own souls, in our life. And likewise pondering over the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we witness and that we experience in life. In this manner, a person, he will know Allah, and he will love Allah, and he will revere Allah, and he will fear Allah. And we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was the greatest means to deter him and to stop him from violating the rights of the commandments and the prohibitions, and to be steadfast and upright upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here I have an additional benefit. That which we read now is not from the work of Shaykh Abdul Razak, but is some additional benefits that I have added. And what we have now in this portion, Masalatu al-Khawfi wa ta'zim, the affair of fear and reverence. The affair of fear and reverence. This is again cultivated in the heart by learning about Allah and learning about His majesty and His lordship and learning about His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And this is what the Quran clarifies and calls to. And thus realizing that Allah alone is worthy of worship, devotion, and servitude. Worthy of worship, devotion, and servitude. So we have a few verses here from Surah Al-An'am. And it just happened that last night, the Imam, he recited these verses. He recited these verses and from Surah Al-An'am. And they are beautiful verses. And there are many verses similar like this, clarifying this same issue, the issue of fearing Allah and revering Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And after that, there is some transmission and benefit from the statements of Shaykh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in one of his tafsirs called Al-Azbu Al-Munir. So we just read these verses and the translation and this commentary and benefits from Shaykh Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Masalatul Khawfi wa Ta'zim, the affair of fear and reverence. Yaqulu Allahu Jalla wa Ala wa indahum mafatihul ghaibi la ya'lamuha illa hu wa ya'lamu ma fil barri wal bahr wa ma tasqutu min waraqatin illa ya'lamuha ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Allah the most glorious and exalted, he says, the meaning of which is, and with him are the keys of the غيب, all that is hidden. None knows them but he. And he knows whatever there is in or on the earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls, but he knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. But it's written in a clear record. This, amongst many other verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, clarifying the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His knowledge has encompassed all things. And this is from the wisdom of the creation and the earth, of the creation of the heavens and the earth, to realize and know this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That you may know that Allah has the ability to do all things and that He has encompassed all things in knowledge. Allah, He mentioned that He is the one who has created the heavens and created the earth, that His command descends, and then He clarified the wisdom behind that. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you know that Allah has the ability to do all things. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So there is nothing in this life that is hidden from Allah. Not a leaf falls, except Allah, He knows that. He has supreme knowledge, encompassing knowledge of that leaf, when it falls, where it's going to fall, and the likes. He is the creator. Allah يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the one who created the leaf. Then should not He know best? Likewise, He's the one who created the human being. Then should He not know best? Isn't it the creator of the creation who knows best what's for the creation and the outcome of the creation and that which will happen to the creation? This is from His supreme authority and command that He knows all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. This verse here is clarifying the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of encompassing knowledge and some of the details of that affair. And then Allah, He clarifies after that, continuing in these verses, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقَضَى أَجْرٌ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It is He who takes your souls by night when you are asleep and has knowledge of all that you have done by day. Then He raises and He wakes you up again, that a term appointed for your life period be fulfilled. Then in the end, unto Him will be your return. Then He will inform you of that which you used to do. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. He is the irresistible supreme over His slaves. And He sends guardians, angels guarding and writing all of one's good and bad deeds over you until when death approaches one of you, our messengers, the angel of death and his assistants, take his soul and they never neglect their duty. Allah Azza wa Jal, He, along with creating mankind, has created angels as well. And from them, there are angels who take the souls of the people at the time of death. And as Allah, He mentioned, they never neglect their duty. And there's a term appointed that no one can pass, no one can resist, and no one can escape. And it's the inevitable meeting that we're going to die and we're going to return to Allah. There will be an angel that will come to each one of us and take our soul.
حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ أَلَا لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. And then they are returned to Allah, their true master and God, their true Lord. Surely for Him is the judgment, and He is the swiftest and taking to account.
قال الشيخ محمد الأمين الشنقيطي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه العذب المنير. الشيخ محمد الأمين الشنقيطي, may Allah have mercy on him, said in his book العذب المنير. وهذه الآية الكريمة وأمثالها في القرآن العظيم أجمع العلماء على أنه أكبر واعظ وأعظم زاجر نزل من السماء إلى الأرض, فهي أعظم موعظة تلقى يتعظ بها الناس إلا أنه مع الأسف تمر على آذانهم ولم تكن في قلوبهم
This noble verse and similar ones in the glorious Quran have been unanimously agreed upon by the scholars as the greatest admonition and the most profound deterrent that has ever descended from the heavens to the earth. It is the greatest reminder by which people should take heed. However, unfortunately, it passes through their ears without entering their hearts. The fact that Allah is our creator and provider and sustainer, and that He is aware and has supreme knowledge of all things, and He hears and sees everything that we do, and nothing is hidden from Him, and we will return back to Him and be taken to account. Unfortunately, it passes through their ears without entering their hearts. وَهَذَا أَكْبَرُ وَاعِذٍ لِأَنَّهُ أَطْبَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى أَنَّ أَعْظَمُ الْوَاعِذِ وَأَعْظَمُ الزَّوَاجِرِ هُوَ وَاعِذُ الْمَرَاقَبَةِ. This is the greatest admonition because scholars have unanimously affirmed that the most powerful form of admonition and deterrence is the awareness of being watched by Allah, having knowledge of Allah, having knowledge of you. having knowledge, certain knowledge that Allah has supreme knowledge over you and awareness over you, being aware of that effect, being aware of that affair, that Allah, He sees you, that Allah, He knows exactly what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you are saying and what you're doing. And nothing is hidden from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest admonition and deterrence, is to have this knowledge, to be aware of this knowledge, and that this knowledge is cultivated and taken great root in the heart of a believer. This is the greatest admonition, because scholars have unanimously affirmed that the most powerful form of admonition and deterrence is the awareness of being watched by Allah and knowledge of His complete surveillance over all things. وَضَرَبَ الْعُلَمَاءُ لِهَذَا مَثَلًا قَالُوا وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى لَوْ فَرَضْنَا أَنَّ هَذَا الْبَرَاحِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ فِيهِ مَلِكٌ قَتَّالٌ لِلرِّجَالِ إِنْ انْتُهِكَتْ حُرَمَاتُهُ وَسَفَّاكٌ لِلدِّمَاءِ إن انتهكت حرماته ذو قوة وعزة ومنعة وحوله جيوشه وحول هذا الملك بناته ونساؤه وجواريه أيخطر في بال أحد أن أولئك الحاضرين مجلس هذا الملك الجبار يقوم واحد منهم بغمزة عين إلى حرم ذلك الملك أو ريبة لا وكلا كلهم خاضعون خاشعة عيونهم خاشعة جوارحهم غاية أمانيهم السلامة. He said, the scholars have provided an analogy to illustrate this saying. The scholars have provided an analogy to illustrate this saying, and to Allah belongs the highest example. If we assume that in an open expanse of land there is a king, one who is ruthless in avenging those who violate his sanctities, a spiller of blood if his sanctities are transgressed, possessing immense power, might, and an unsightable army surrounding him. Around this king are his daughters, wives, and maidservants. Would it ever cross the mind of anyone present in the court of this mighty king to so much as wink an eye in an inappropriate manner towards the sanctity of the king, or act suspiciously? Certainly not. Rather, all those in his presence will be humbled, their gazes lowered, their limbs subdued, and their greatest aspirations will be simply to remain safe. Will be simply to remain safe. He says, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ خَالِقَ الْقَوْمِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى أَعْظَمُ بَطْشًا وَأَشَدُّ نَكَارًا إِنْ انْتُهِكَتْ حُرُمَاتُهُ وَحِمَاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَحَارِمُهُ. Without a doubt, the creator of the universe, to whom belong the highest example, is far greater in might and more severe in punishment when his sanctities are violated. And his sanctities on earth are his prohibitions. This is a specific warning not to violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, not to transgress the limits. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the limits that Allah has said, do not violate them. Rather, do not even come near to them. وَلَوْ قِيلَ لِأَهْلِ بَلَدٍ إِنَّ أَمِيرَ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَدِ يَبِيتُ عَارِمًا بِكُلِّ مَا يَفْعَلُونَهُ فِي اللَّيْلِ مِنَ الْخَسَائِسِ وَالدَّسَائِسِ لَبَاتُ مُتَأَدَّبِينَ لا يفعلون إلا شيئا طيبا. If the people of a town were told their ruler spends the night fully aware of all the disgraceful and treacherous acts they commit under the cover of darkness, they would undoubtedly conduct themselves with the utmost decorum, doing nothing but that which is virtuous. وهذا خالق السماوات والأرض الملك الجبار يخبرهم في آيات كتابه لا تكاد تقلب ورقة واحدة من أوراق المصحف الكريم إِلَّا وَجَدْتَ فِيهَا هَذَا الْوَاعِثَ الْأَكْبَرُ وَالزَّاجِرُ الْأَعْظَمُ. Yet the creator of the heavens and the earth, the almighty king and compeller, has informed them in the verses of his book, you can hardly turn a single page of the noble Quran without encountering this greatest admonition and most severe deterrent. بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah is all-knower of everything. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah is well acquainted with what you do. يَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ. He knows what you conceal. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf befalls, but He knows it. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. We indeed have created the human being, and we know that which his own self whispers to him. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ. And know that Allah knows what is in your minds, so fear Him. وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ. And whatever you are engaged in, and whatever you recite from the Qur'an, whatever deed you do, O mankind, good or evil, we are witness thereof. We are witness thereof while you are doing it. He mentioned, rahimahullah, فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَيْنَا جَمِيعًا نَعْتَبِرَ بِهَذَا الزَّاجِرُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَالْوَاعِدُ الْأَعْظَمُ وَلَا نَتَنَاسَى لِأَلَّا نُهْلِكَ أَنفُسَنَا وَنَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّا لَوْ كُنَّا فِي حَضَرَةِ مَالِكٍ جَبَّارٍ مِنْ مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا يَمُوتُ وَيَأْكُلُهُ الدُّودُ أَنَّا بِحَضْرَتِهِ وَمُلَاقَاتِهِ لَا يُمْكِنُنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ إِلَّا شَيْءٍ يَسُرُّهُ وَيُرْضِيهِ. Therefore, we must all take heed of this greatest deterrent and most powerful admonition and never disregard it, lest we ruin ourselves and ruin our own souls. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot Allah, and Allah, He caused them to forget their own souls and He made the means of savior and sanctity for their own souls. Therefore, we must take heed of this greatest deterrent and most powerful admonition and never disregard it, lest we ruin our own selves. We should reflect on this reality. If we are in the presence of a mighty earthly king, one who is still mortal, who will eventually die and be consumed by worms, we would never dare to do anything in his presence except that which pleases and satisfies him. فَعَلَيْنَا أَن نَعْلَمَ أَنَّنَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَلِكِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَأَنَّهُ أَعْظَمُ بَطْشًا وَأَفْضَعُ نَكَالٍ إِنْ انْتُهِكَتْ حَرَمَاتُهُ وَأَنَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِكُلِّ مَا نُسِرُّ وَمَا نُعْلِنُ فَعَلَيْنَا أَن نَعْتَبِرَ هَذَا لِنَتَّعِذْ. Thus, we must be even more conscious that we are constantly in the presence of the King of the heavens and the earth. Glorified and exalted be He. He is far mightier in retribution and more severe in punishment when His sanctities are violated. He knows all that we conceal and all that we reveal. We must internalize this awareness so that we may take heed. فَقَدْ بَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِ جِبْرِيلَ الْمَشْهُورِ أن جبريل عليه السلام أراد أن يبين هذا الواعظ الأكبر والزاجر الأعظم لأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما لم ينتبهوا له. Indeed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified this greatest admonition and most profound deterrent in the well-known hadith of Jibreel. Jibreel عليه السلام sought to explain this to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because they had not yet fully grasped it. وإيضاح ذلك أن الله بين لنا في آيات من كتابه أن الحكمة التي خلق من أجلها الخلق والسماوات والأرض وخلق من أجلها الموت والحياة هي أن يبتلي خلقه أي يختبرهم بنقطة واحدة أي يختبرهم بنقطة واحدة وهي نقطة العمل. من يحسن عمله فيأتي به حسنا كما ينبغي ومن لا يحسنه. The clarification of this matter is that Allah has explained to us in several verses of His book that the wisdom behind the creation of the heavens and the earth, as well as the creation of death and life, is to test His creation. This test revolves around a single point. He's summarizing for you. This test that the entire creation was created for revolves around a single point: their deeds, their actions. Who among them will perfect their deeds and perform them in the best manner, and who will fail to do so? And who will fail to do so? This is the test. This is the wisdom from the creation and your very breath in your life that you're living. Our very breath in our lives that we're living to test us. To test us with regards to what? Our deeds. Our actions that we perform. Our actions that we perform. He says, وَلِذَا قَالَ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ هُودِ وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان أرشه على الماء. For this reason, Allah, He says at the beginning of Surah Hud, and He it is who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and His throne was over the water. ثم بين الحكمة والعلة الغائية قال ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Then He clarifies the wisdom and ultimate purpose behind this creation, saying that He might try you, which of you is best in deeds. وَلَمْ يَقُولْ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا وَقَالَ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ الْكَهْفِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ الْحِكْمَةَ فِي ذَلِكَ قَالَ لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He did not say which of you does the most deeds, but rather the best deeds. Similarly, at the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah, He says, verily we have made that which is on the earth as an adornment for it. And then He clarifies the wisdom behind this, and He says that He may test them, which of them is best indeed. وقال في أول سورة الملك الذي خلق الموت والحياة ثم بين الحكمة فقال ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن أملا ولم يقل أكثر أملا. And in the beginning of Surah Al-Mulk, he says, who has created the death and the life? Then he explains the purpose behind this creation, saying that he may test you which of you is best in deeds. Again, he does not say who does the most deeds, but rather who does the best deeds. فدلت هذه الآيات القرآنية أن خلقنا لنختبر ونبتلى في شيء هو إحسان العمل. These Quranic verses make it clear that we were created to be tested and tried in one fundamental matter, the perfection of our deeds. ولا شك أن العاقل يقول إذا كان ربي جل وعلا خلق الخلائق والسماوات والأرض والموت والحياة لأجل الابتلاء في إحسان العمل ليتني عرفت طريقة إلى إحسان العمل لأنجح بهذا الاختبار. He said, رحمه الله, undoubtedly, any rational person would say, if my Lord, glorified and exalted be He, created all creation, the heavens, the earth, death and life, for the purpose of testing us in the perfection of deeds, then I wish I could know the path to perfecting my deeds. Then I wish I could know the path to perfecting my deeds so that I may succeed in this great test. وجاء جبريل يبين هذا المغزى الأكبر والمقصد الأعظم لأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أخبرني عن الإحسان يعني المعنى الذي خلق الخلق لأجل الاختبار فيه. Jibril عليه السلام, he came to clarify this great purpose and supreme objective to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, O Muhammad, inform me about al-ihsan, excellence and worship. And the Shaykh, he says, the very purpose for which the creation was made and is being tested in, this issue here of al-ihsan. فبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا طريق إلى الإحسان الذي خلقنا من أجله إلا باعتبار هذا الزاجر الأكبر والواعظ الأعظم وهو مراقبة خالق السماوات والأرض والعلم بأنه رقيب علمه محيط بكل شيء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained that there is no path to achieving إحسان for which we were created except through recognizing this greatest deterrent and most profound admonition, being constantly aware of the creator of the heavens and the earth, knowing that he is ever watchful, with his knowledge encompassing everything. وَلِذَا قَالَ لَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ الْإِحْسَانُ أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Thus the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الإحسان is that you worship Allah as if you see him. And if you do not see him, then you know with certainty that he sees you. The Shaykh, he says, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ مَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّهُ يَرَى اللَّهَ وَإِذَا تَنَزَّلَ فَقَالَ لَا أَرَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ عَارِمٌ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَاهُ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَيْهِ. Undoubtedly, whoever worships Allah as if he sees him, and if he descends from this level and does not see him, then he should at least be certain that Allah sees him and is fully aware of him. مَنْ كَانَ يَعْمَلُ أَمَامَ الْمَلِكِ الْجَبَّارُ وَهُوَ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَيْهِ نَاظِرٌ إِلَيْهِ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يُسِيَ الْأَمَلِ لَا يُمْكِنُ لَهُ أَنْ يُسِيَ الْأَمَلِ فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ الْأَمَلِ فَلَنُقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. Whoever works before a mighty and powerful king, knowing that the king is watching him and looking at him, cannot possibly perform his work improperly. He will inevitably strive for perfection in his actions. As Allah says, so by our knowledge, we will certainly recount their whole story in detail, and we were never absent or unaware of their affairs. The Shaykh, he says, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ الْقُرْآنِيَةِ زَاجِرٌ أَعْظَمْ وَوَاعِذٌ أَكْبَرٌ. These Quranic verses contain the greatest deterrent and most powerful admonition. So a person, he must learn about the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and learn the details of the beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah and the Lordship and Rububiyyah of Allah in order to enter into the realm of servitude and worship, and to truly trust and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Him
and to remember His authority, and to worship Allah with love and reverence, and great honor and hope and fear, not with heedlessness. So it's great negligence that a person, he will stand before Allah and raise his hands and say, Allahu Akbar, while his heart is thinking about the worldly life, he is saying with his tongue outwardly, Allahu Akbar. But if Allah was Akbar, then his heart would be thinking and remembering Allah and revering Allah and honoring Allah and not thinking about the dunya. But because the dunya in reality is Akbar in his life, he can't get it off his mind, not even whenever he says, Allahu Akbar. So this is great deficiency in worship. This is great weakness in faith. So we have to strive to cultivate this fear and reverence of Allah and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal in our hearts, in our lives, especially in the time of performing actions of worship. Especially in the times of performing actions of worship. Especially in performing obligatory actions of worship. Especially in the obligatory salah. Especially in the obligatory salah. To come into the salah with a mind that is empty from the worldly life. To empty your heart from the worldly life when you enter into the salah and to step into the realm of the hereafter. The deeds that are legislated to draw near to Allah, they're deeds of the hereafter. So we must leave the worldly life behind at this time and hope for the promise of Allah and remember the greatness of Allah and fear and revere Allah Azza wa Jal and be shy from Him to stand before Him or to do actions of worship while our heart is attached to the worldly life. Our heart is attached to the worldly life. The point from this chapter or this portion here is that the greatest means to be free from sin is to learn the tawheed of Allah and to cultivate it in the heart and to know that Allah, He sees you and to be shy from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be shy from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one thing to fear Allah, a higher than that is to be shy from Allah. To be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from the good slaves and those who are sincere. After this, the next point is the issue of love. We take this in our class in the morning. بإذن الله تعالى هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.